program. I'm Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on The Fan at 888-808-1019. Producing tonight, Mr. Michael Fliegelman. And we got a lot to do, people. NFL season, TGIF, thank God. It's football, another football Sunday here in New York City. In some ways, thank God it is the end of the regular season for the Giants and Jets. Both fans, in many ways, put out of their misery after another miserable regular season. And now we look ahead. Wild card weekend is set. The matchups are set. And I have questions for you. Questions for you to call in on. By the way, fantastically fun, dramatic game. A lot of mistakes on Sunday Night Football that you just heard on our airwaves. Steelers over Ravens. And this does relate to where I'm going with the New York Jets, which is the Jets did not want Aaron Rodgers. And I understand it was time to move on, a rebuild, all those sort of things. But Aaron Rodgers, you heard him talking after the game. He's emotional after how bad things have been the last few years. The injuries, and as he said, how terrible things were last year with the Jets. All Aaron Rodgers did in the fourth quarter of this game with the season on the line, he went 11 for 14, 133 yards, and 130 passer rating. Like, every time they needed him to do something in that fourth quarter, he got the job done and kept bringing them back. And then, on the flip side, we have the Jets. Aaron Glenn's Jets, who made history. Made history. They made history, not the good kind. They made history being the only team in history to finish a season with no interceptions. They made history becoming the first team in NFL history to lose five games in a row by 23 or more points in a single season. The Jets, and the question is, on the plus side, Jets fans, we can talk about it. The day went really well from a big picture draft standpoint. Jets moved up as high as they could have, all the way up to number two overall. That allows them to draft a quarterback. The problem is they're number two, not number one. So if you love Fernando Mendoza, it's not going to be him. But get to know Dante Moore. It might be him. And we'll talk about why at least if the Jets were going to take a quarterback, maybe it's not so awful because at least they're not going to mortgage the future and make a ton of trades. Trade away a ton of draft capital. You can try and convince yourself of that. But the question really is, Jet fans, tell me why you believe Aaron Glenn is the right person to turn around the Jets. Tell me one reason you believe that. What did you watch? Because he's telling us to believe. That's what he said all season long and after this game. Still expects people to believe that he's the right person for the job. Tell me one reason you believe that. 888-808-1019. And as for the Giants, the other interesting aspect of this game tonight and the ramifications about the Giants, whichever team lost, in this case, it turned out to be the Ravens. A longtime, very well-respected NFL head coach might just be available. It is possible that after winning a Super Bowl and years of leading the Baltimore Ravens towards the playoffs and to success, that Jim Harbaugh and the Ravens may, after the season, say, it's time to move on. It's time to part ways. And where are you feeling, Giants fans, in terms of if a Jim Harbaugh is available, where does he stand in your ranking of potential head coaching candidates? How about Kevin Stefanski? Stefanski, it was interesting today. Stefanski and the Browns actually win. And by winning, the Browns draft pick drops below the Giants. He did the Giants a little bit of a favor. Will be interesting. If he gets fired tomorrow by the Browns and the Giants eventually hire him, then he did his new team a little bit of a solid in the draft. But Kevin Stefanski, two-time NFL Coach of the Year with the Browns, and got dealt a pretty raw deal in terms of the whole quarterback situation, Deshaun Watson and all of that, in Cleveland. So where does he rank on your list? That is the question for Giants fans, for you to call in on 888-808-1019. Your first question, who do you want to be the next head coach of the New York Giants? So those are a couple of the questions for you to kick off the show. And then in terms of topics, we're going to have Giants, we're going to have Jets. If there is time, we might get to some rumors that are floating around out there about the Yankees, maybe some deals that might be happening soon. We'll get to a little baseball, time permitting. But let's start with the football today and the Jets. And we're going to talk about, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news with the Jets is you're drafting number two. And you started the day and there was no way you could move into the number one spot. Two is as high as you could go. So one thing you have to say about the Jets, this season, they are fantastic at tanking. Just have done a stellar job of tanking. They've perfected it. As a matter of fact, they should share that information with the New York Giants, who are awful at it. The Giants, maybe if the Giants thought that the season, if there was a way to start the season in week 17, maybe the Giants would actually be a good football team. Maybe if we told the Giants that this game is absolutely meaningless, that this game has no meaning whatsoever and you have no chance of making the playoffs, maybe the Giants would play well. Maybe they'd actually close the deal and win some games. Who knows? Weeks 1 through 16, the Giants are terrible. Weeks 17 and 18, when there's a draft pick on the line, the Giants certainly suddenly turn into a winning franchise. But the Jets, look, credit. This year, the Jets, with Aaron Glenn at the helm, excellent tanking job there. So you got the number two overall pick. And the good part of it is, I'll say this, is in a draft that has potentially two quarterbacks, Fernando Mendoza, maybe Dante Moore, that teams are going to be interested in with the top couple of picks, what would have been catastrophic for the Jets is if you had Raiders drafting number one overall, Giants drafting number two overall, and Jets at number three. And now the Jets would have to trade up with the Giants, give away draft capital that they badly need on what is a bad Jets football team with a ton of holes, and waste draft capital on a quarterback in Dante Moore that ultimately, I don't think you can have a ton of confidence that you're to look at it and say, you know, we have so much conviction that he's the real deal. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't mean you go ahead and draft him. I think you can't, you know, now that you're not trading away a ton, until you have a quarterback, you have to keep taking shots at quarterbacks. And this is not a great overall draft anyway. It's not thought to have the same type. You know, if I ask you, who's the Abdul Carter? You want to tell me it's Reuben Bain? You know, there isn't the same level of top talent in this draft that there was last year, and certainly not the year before. It's not commonly regarded. Now, will there be, you know, very good players? Of course there will. Players that will help teams get better and win in the playoffs and win, you know, in the future, win Super Bowls. Like, of course there are. But it's not a commonly regarded great draft. And so the last thing you'd wanted the Jets to do would be to sit there and trade away all this extra draft capital they've amassed, you know, by trading away Sauce Gardner and trading away Quinnen Williams, and their general manager, you know, Muji, has done a nice job by adding draft picks, and on a bad rebuilding Jets team, you don't want to give away a lot of that just to trade up for a quarterback that is not, you know, no one is ever a sure thing in the NFL. It is very rare that there's someone who comes out of college and is an Andrew Luck, where you kind of say, all right, that's a sure bet, and then he turns into a sure bet. You know, in the NFL, right, you know, right away you can say, oh, that guy's really good. It is rare that you see that. So you don't want to trade away a ton. So that's the positive of what we saw happen over the course of Sunday. The Jets don't have to trade away a ton of draft capital. They can stay there right at two. They can take their chance on a Dante Moore with that first round draft pick. And then they've got another first round draft pick, that Colts pick coming up. Take some other talent in this draft to, you know, add talent to your team. And then you got the second round and they have all these additional picks. Like, great. Add talent. Take a swing at the quarterback. So the way the draft is working out for them, other than not getting Mendoza, which was never going to happen today, today went as well as it could have for the Jets. That's the good news. Now, the bad news for the Jets today was they hired a defensive head coach in Aaron Glenn. He said he was going to change the culture. He was supposed to be the second coming of Dan Campbell, that leader of men, change the culture, CEO type. And he was going to build something. But the problem is, like, I get the fact that the Lions were a bad football team that first year and they were rebuilding. But you could at least start to see where they were heading. You could at least start to see a team that was playing hard and trending in the right direction. You could see some of the bone structure at least starting to happen. You tell me, when you look at this Jets team, and yes, they beat the Falcons 27-24, but since that game, lost to the Dolphins, a losing, bad football team whose coach is on the hot seat, who benched their starting quarterback. They lost to the Dolphins 34-10. They lost to the Jaguars 48-20, and honestly, the score sounds closer than it was, and the Jaguars were being nice about that game. That could have been 60-plus points if they hadn't put on the brakes. They lost to the Saints, a team with a rookie head coach and a rookie quarterback that has a losing record. They lost to the Saints 29-6. Then the Patriots embarrassed them and laughed at the Jets, stood there on the sideline after the Jets pulled some Michigas calling a timeout before halftime, and then the Patriots were like, F that, here's another touchdown, and we're just going to laugh at you. We're just going to laugh at you. That's what the Patriots did. And they won 42-10. And then you have the Bills today. The Bills did not play their starters. Josh Allen came out there for one snap to keep his record going, his streak. James Cook got to run the ball a couple times, but then they said, you know, that was it. Took James Cook out of the game because they didn't want him getting hurt, even though he, I think, wanted to, but understood what was important is to be healthy for the postseason. So instead, they got a couple of their players some incentives, but otherwise, they relied on Mitchell Trubisky, their backup quarterback, who shredded the Jets, 22 of 29, 259 yards, 8.9 yards per pass, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was never sacked. Never, not sacked at all. 142 passer rating. Almost a perfect passer rating. And so don't tell me that, well, the Jets traded away a couple of their starters. Yeah, on defense, they did. And I get that the Jets have injuries. Yeah, they do. But the Bills played their backups, and won 35-8. And again, were being nice at the end of the game. If they had wanted, they could have kept passing the ball, racking up yardage, and scoring more points. They just kind of stopped. They didn't want anybody really to get hurt anymore. Trying to play as many backups as possible all over the team. And the Jets lost 35-8. So you tell me, it's one thing to lose, but to get blown out and embarrassed, humiliated by backups, and the defense to look like that when you have a defensive head coach who was supposed to be here changing the culture, you tell me. Why, how would you be confident that Aaron Glenn was the right person to lead this franchise moving forward? Remember the first year? Do you remember the first year of Robert Saleh? Like, I know it didn't work out, but there was a sense of energy, of motivation, of that maybe things were moving in a direction that could be positive. And yeah, he clapped a lot on the sidelines. There were things he had to work on. But you saw something there. They played hard. The defense played hard. That's not this. No interceptions. The fewest takeaways since 1940, since they started keeping that stat. 4 turnovers, this defense, on the entire season. No interceptions. Defensive-minded head coach who says he's very confident and confident that he's going to turn this around. And here's what I'm confident in. Here's what's going to happen, Jets fans. I don't often tell you I can predict the future, but here's what I believe is very likely to happen. Jets are going to draft a quarterback number 2 overall. Jets are going to have a losing season next year with that rookie quarterback. From what we've seen out of Aaron Glenn, I do not expect this team to be markedly better next year and with a rookie quarterback starting fairly soon into the season. Aaron Glenn will then be on the hot seat. And at that point, Woody Johnson will fire him after next season, 2 years in. Then they will be looking for a new head coach who has to like the rookie quarterback that they just drafted this past season. Will be a year in. Or they're flushing away that draft pick and moving on with a new head coach and starting again. And that's where you're at. And or you're limiting your head coach options to somebody who likes that rookie quarterback. Now, you could tell me, in some ways, that sounds remarkably like what the Giants are doing and have just done. But at least in the case of the Giants, where they drafted the rookie quarterback in Jackson Dart, they had an offensive-minded head coach in Brian Daboll who had a track record of developing young quarterbacks. And from what we have seen, he did a really nice job of helping to develop Jackson Dart. It didn't hurt Jackson Dart to have Brian Daboll around. In fact, we can't be sure that the Giants would even have drafted Dart if not for Daboll. So You have a defensive-minded head coach, Jets fans. And give me one reason, something you saw from this Jets team, some reason to bring back Aaron Glenn. Nice guy, but I don't see one reason. As for the Giants, and then we're going to get to your calls. As for the Giants, I had Giants fans on social media today giving, I was going back and forth with some Giants fans. I can read some of those comments. But apparently a lot of you are tired of a lot of us talking about two things. So I'll just make my stance on this very clear, and I will not belabor the point unless some of you want to call in and discuss it. And here are the two points. One, Joe Shane. A lot of you are tired of hearing a lot of us talk about how Joe Shane should be fired. Well, he should be. He should be fired. And for those of you who think that we should just get over it here at the station and move on to another topic, I'll tell you what. I won't belabor it all night for hours, but I'll say this. I'm not convinced yet, 100%, that Joe Shane is coming back. I won't fully believe it until they hire the next head coach. Because if that next head coach in the interview process ends up being a John Harbaugh or a Kevin Stefanski, like last year with a Liam Cohen and the Jaguars, and he pulled a power play, and he said, ultimately, I'm not taking the job if Trent Baalke is still the lousy GM there. No thank you. And they fired the GM there in Jacksonville because they wanted the head coach. Well, until the Giants hire a head coach, I'm not sold yet that Joe Shane is definitely back. I believe John Mara wants him to be back, but I'm not 100% sold yet. We'll see is the answer. Probably is the answer. Definitely not. Not yet. Let him hire a head coach, and then I will fully believe it. Number two point that apparently you're tired of. You're tired, those of you who've been telling me this on social media, on X, at L. Rubinson WFAN on X, that you are tired of hearing me and others here at the station talk about how lousy the Giants are about tanking, how players don't tank, how the games are meaningless, and get over the fact that the Giants will not have the number one overall draft pick or the number two overall draft pick. They will not be able to trade back. They're at five. Get over it. That's what I'm hearing from you. You don't want me to belabor that point. So I won't belabor it. I will simply say that yes, I understand players don't tank. Players try to win. Nobody is saying otherwise on that. So we can put that aside. So you don't need to call me and say, players don't want to tank. Players don't tank. Duh. I'm not saying that, okay? But organizations do try to tank. Organizations try to lose games to improve draft status and draft capital because it's helpful in the long run. Look at the Jets. You're not playing Brady Cook at starting quarterback because you think he gives you the best chance to win over Tyrod Taylor? Are you insane? Nobody believes that. And there are plenty of other examples from all over the league. Go talk to Max Crosby sitting home in Vegas, jumping on a trampoline and playing basketball with his kid. And tell me he's way too hurt to play for the Raiders against the Giants last week. So teams tank, organizations do, players don't. I get it. And in the long run, culture wins. To win at the end of the season when you've already fired your head coach, so your head coach won't be there, you're not building something with these players and whatever. You know what? The Patriots. Did they build something at the end of last season? No, they fired their head coach. They hired a good new head coach, and now they're winning. The Bears, was it about culture at the end of last season? No, they fired their head coach. They hired a good new head coach, and now they're winning. That's culture. Hire a good head coach. That's culture. A win at the end of the season is not.